Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not a poet, how well I know it. I've never been a raver, but when I speak of you, I rave a bit, it's true. I'm wild about you, I'm lost without you. You give my life its flavor, what sugar does for tea, that's what you do for me. You're the cream in my coffee, you're the salt in my stew. You will always be my necessity, I'd be lost without you. You're the starch in my collar, you're the lace in my shoe. You will always be my necessity, I'd be lost without you. Most men tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known way, this way is my own way. You're the sail of my love boat, you're the captain and crew. You will always be of my necessity, I'd be lost without you. Tell love tales, and each phrase dovetails. You've heard each known way, this way is my own way. If you're the sail of my love boat, you are the captain and crew. You will always be my necessity, I'd be lost without you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray, your hostess for tonight, a poet on the website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. And tonight is our sensual poetry night. If you find that is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthology put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase them, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And for tonight's show, the poetry is from a contest that I ran that had F. Scott some of his more romantic and slightly sensual quotes. And then I also allowed for people to share on the topic board in Late Night Poets open sensual poetry. So I think it's definitely going to be a wonderful night of poetry for sure. And I am looking forward to it, and I'm going to go ahead and bring a guest on. So welcome to the show, Thomas. Glad you could be here. How's it going?
Well, I'm going good, except for
a bad case of sunburned knees.
Ouch. Yeah, that'll put a damper on any plans. You know, you definitely, hopefully you got some aloe for that.
And, lots of it.
Oh, there you go.
When you wish that you could go to the, take a bath in aloe. But that would probably be right expense.
But, I understand that. I've been mostly hiding indoors because our weather's been so warm. So I haven't really gotten any sunburn, but the humidity just really gets to me. But, yeah.
Well, that's what they always say in the South. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. Yeah, right.
I know. No, it's the heat, no matter what. I've lived in areas and been to areas where there's dry heat, and I've been to areas where there's humid heat. And either way, it's hot. So.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to have a co-host. Hopefully, he will be showing up soon. In the meantime, I guess we'll go ahead and move forward. I figured that since F. Scott Fitzgerald was our inspiration, that we should read one of his poems. And so, Tom, if you would read that poem, and then I just need a little extra time, so when you're done reading it, go straight into commenting, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. City Dusk by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Inevitable night of mine. Oh, you drinker of wine. Here's pageantry. Here's carnival. Rich dusk, dim streets, and all the whispering of city night. I have closed my book of fading harmonies. The shadows fell across me in the park. And my soul was sad with violins and trees, and I was sick or dark. When suddenly it hastened by me, bringing thousands of lights, a haunting breeze, and a night of streets and singing, I shall know you by your eager feet and your pale, pale hair. I'll whisper happy, incoherent things while I'm waiting for you there. All the faces, unforgettable in dust, will blend to yours, and the footsteps, like a thousand overtures, will blend to yours, and there will be more drunkenness than wine in the softness of your eyes on mine. Faint violins where lovely ladies dine, the brushing of skirts, the voices of the night, and all the lore of friendly eyes. Sounds upon the summer air. End poem.
Great read there, Tom. You know, I have to say F. Scott Fitzgerald, obviously known best of all for The Great Gatsby and other books or stories that took place in the jazz era. So the prompts I used were quotes, and a lot of them were from quotes from his novels, such as, you know, The Great Gatsby. So I went to look for some of his poetry. There wasn't a whole lot out there. Well, I looked on All Poetry, and there wasn't a whole lot. And I thought, well, I want to find something that kind of has a sensuality to it. And while I wouldn't say that this is like knockdown sensuality. To me, there was something about the sense of movement, the music, even the thousand lights and a haunting breeze. This imagery just had a sensuality to it. And especially where it says, all the faces unforgettable in dusk will blend to yours, and the foot thousand overtures will blend to yours, and there will be more drunkenness than wine and the softness of your eyes on mine. Same violins where lovely ladies dine. I mean, just there is to me within this stunning imagery, a captivating sensuality, and I thought it was a good poem to start the show with. And Tom, what did you think of this classic poem?
There's sort of a rhapsody to being in love so passionately that you become almost drunk upon it. You know, oh, you drinker of new wine, here's pageantry, here's carnival. And I shall know you by your eager feet and your pale, pale hair. And I'll whisper happy, incoherent things, as if I'm so passionately, madly in love that I no longer exist where reason stands, but I'm caught up in the madness of the moment and the joy of just being in love. You know, and again, that line that you picked, and there will be more drunkenness than wine and the softness of your eyes on mine. I mean, if that doesn't speak to this idea of being totally inebriated by the idea of love, totally overwhelmed with, you know, just the sheer passionate joy of loving another woman, I don't know what else does. This is just great.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I like what you had to say about how, you know, when you're first madly, passionately in love, it, you know, has that feeling of drunkenness. And it also makes me think about how when you're in that kind of love that you only have eyes for that person. Like, you can be in a big city, you can be in a crowd, and it's only that person that gets your attention. So,
I mean, I like that. I have closed book on fading harmonies. The shadows fell across me in the park, as if he suddenly realized that everything that's in the past is now sort of in darkness and no longer important. But when suddenly it hastened by me, bringing thousands of light, a haunting breeze, and a night of streets and singing. I just, you know, he really catches that a deep sort of inner spiritual magic that just goes on when you fall in love.
He does, absolutely, absolutely. And what did you think of that intro song, by the way? Mel Torme singing "You're the Cream in My Coffee." That was catchy, wasn't it?
Well, I have an absolute love for a whole lot of the songs from the late 40s, early 50s.
Yep, yep.
Because everybody from Fats Domino's, Fats Waller, Louis Jordan, to talk about the rhythm and blues artists who really had great sense of word magic, and any number of the guys from Tin Pan Alley. There's just sometimes you listen to the words and you're just like, oh, that's just an incredible setup. It's just like an early Motown, Smokey Robinson's Tears of a Clown.
Yep. Beautiful stuff. Beautiful stuff. Yeah, my original goal, see, I was originally looking for something from the 1920s, like a jazz tune from the 1920s. But I came across that, and I love Mel Torme's voice, and that song is just so catchy. You know, even though that song I think is like from the 30s or 40s, I thought, well, you know what, I'm going to go with that one instead, because it was just so darn catchy. And couldn't really resist it.
With the entire spirit of what The Great Gatsby and a lot of what Fitzgerald was talking to.
You know what? You are so right.
mean, you know, certain periods of time in American history, like right before the Depression, post the what do you want to call it, the post-prohibition period, the post-war period, both World War II and World War I, but particularly World War II more than World War I, where there was just like a certain sense of America will party.
Yeah.
Because they were so happy about where they, what was going on, and you know, and you can hear it in the music, you can hear, see it in the arts really, really well.
Yep, and you're right. It does fit really well with the spirit of the topic. So, awesome.
Yeah, can we begin? Find some poet unsuspecting, not realizing they're going to be brought into the bright open air of speech.
Yes, yes. Wouldn't that would be wonderful. Yeah, if there's anybody listening in who would, you know, on Late Night Poets, who'd like to, you know, call in and read their central poem or just join us, you know, you're more than welcome to. So, all right. And up next we have In His Eyes I Saw by Joe Colt. And it goes like this. In his eyes I saw brokenness, a trembling vulnerability that was undeniably, unmistakably untouched. It was there I entered without intention or agenda. It was there he let me in, and we knew trust intimately. We cried and drank tears in holy communion. Love was our church, our vows, promises never spoken. End poem. And Joe wrote to prompt two, which I don't remember what prompt two was. I will have to take a look, but your thoughts, Tom?
I like the opening lines, and I really pay a lot of attention to opening lines because they're what invite you into a poem. I there's something tender in the, in his eyes I saw a brokenness, a trembling vulnerability. And there's a tenderness in lines like, it was there I entered up without intention or agenda. It was there he let me in, and we knew trust intimately. I mean, that's just, that catches a sense of quietness, vulnerability.
Yeah.
Pure
yep.
Kind of quality. It's just, I can't quite find the words for it, but she beautifully described right there.
You know,
I think you found. You were going to say.
Yeah, well, I think. Oh, sorry. I was going to say, I think you found the right words, or some of the right words, especially when you said tender, because that is part of the quote she wrote to was, "You are the finest, loveliest, tenderest, and most beautiful person I have ever known, and even that is an understatement." So I think you really picked up on that well when you made your observation on her poem. But go ahead, continue. I apologize for interrupting.
No, I think she did a beautiful job of it. Because she didn't overplay it. She didn't stress it. She just invited you into her poem to experience it. And I think that's a real skill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do have to agree. And I love that there's such, this is a beautifully written brevity. You know, she has, the sensuality is so delicate. And I love the use of the phrase, a trembling vulnerability. Because, you know, I think, to be able to trust someone enough to to be vulnerable with them is a beautiful thing. And the sense of letting each other in an intimate way, not just physically, but especially emotionally and spiritually. And we cried and drank tears in Holy Communion. Love was our church, our vows, promises never spoken. And, you know, just the whole idea of that communicating through, you know, letting each other know who you are and what's important to you. Really just a wonderful, intimate rite. Beautiful take on the chosen prompt and very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. I will say that this contest did get a bit of a slow start. I think it was just because the quotes weren't necessarily like right out there sensual. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I was like, but I still wanted to put them up because I really like F. Scott Fitzgerald, and I really saw potential in those quotes for people to dig deep and find the romance and the sensuality within them.
Well, I think it's good that sometimes you get to sit with something and just sort of wait for it instead of having it, you know, thrust in your face, so to speak.
Yes.
And those,
yes, exactly.
Those are a little more subtle, perhaps, than some people were prepared for. But I think when you sat with them for a moment, you could see how they were an invitation to explore your sensuality and sense of seduction from different viewpoints.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that is important to get those different viewpoints. So, and now, do you need to, I hate to ask, but are you able to stick around for a bit until I have somebody show up?
Yeah, I wasn't going to desert you and leave you abandoned.
Okay. Well, I didn't think you would, but yeah, I wanted to make sure because I do know sunburns can just be awfully horrible to deal with. But, I appreciate it.
I notice how tight the skin is when I go to straighten my legs.
Ah, there you go. All right. Well, up next we have The Knowing Glance by Time Teller. And go ahead, please, Tom, and give that a read.
Okay. The Knowing Glance, a poem by Time Teller. They say gravitational waves warp time and space, leaving an indelible impression. Space is stretched in one direction and squashed. Every time they see each other, they are stretched forward to future scenes of flickering camera action running on the backlit screen of their eyelids. Those precious moments, a coalescing of chemicals that bond us in tight gravitational embraces. They swarm thoughts, gathering visions into whirlpools of intensity that cascade through their being. Every cell, every hair on their skin tingles in delight at seeing each other enter a room. If they could hold their breath between each movement of their eyes and faces, they would dive deepest depths of anticipation and rise quickly to feel once again their blood boil with nitrogen as it bubbles their flesh to flushing pinky threads and shortens their breath to amnesiac compulsions to drink water in arid deserts to each other. Bring it on. Bring it on. This universe has a memory. Those gravitational waves tell history of all before, and they see it and know it within their eyes. They have held before, felt hands and breath upon their skin. They have heard those words and laughed with the others. Laughter, they have imprinted moments, hammered impressions into the fabric of time. And when their eyes meet, they feel the metal within hemoglobin heat up. They feel the pulse of time beat faster with recognition, like the homecoming. Soldiers seize home. They hear the mumbling and moans of our past connections in contorted ecstasy, and they know each like they know a favorite meal. And in that instant, they don't ever want you to look away.
Great read there, Tom. Oh my goodness, I have to say this one just really touches my heart. We were talking about the spirit of the contest and the topic, and I really feel like that's what this write does. There's something about that knowing glance, you know, across the room, and then as you get closer to each other, and the whole getting lost in each other's eyes. This is a wonderful, I don't know if it's considered a prose poem, but I guess I don't know a lot about prose, but to me it seems like it is. But I like the way he writes it. It's almost as if he's telling a story or giving us a snapshot of this couple. But the imagery in this and the word choices is just beautiful and stunning and unique. And it's a way that like it has words that you don't think about. You know, when it comes to central rights, a coalescing of chemicals that bond us in tight gravitational embraces. Those are wonderful lines. I really also like if they could hold their breath between each moment of their eyes embraces, they would dive deepest depths of anticipation and rise quickly to feel once again their blood boil with nitrogen as it bubbles their flesh to flushing pinkish red and shortens their breath to amnesiac compulsions to drink the water in arid deserts, a gift to each other. I love that whole thought of just, you know, drinking somebody in and how when you're physically and each attracted to somebody, the flush rises to your cheeks and you find yourself blushing. And, you know, just wonderful lines throughout. I like that it captures a romantic and sensual moment, but there's not really a whole lot physical going on. It's really about the intimacy of the eye contact. So wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Yeah, I can see that. I can understand that.
Yeah, and what did you think?
Well, I was looking at it and sort of thinking about how he did it. Like the first paragraph is they meet and he uses science and physics in a sense, gravitational waves, warp time, and space leaving an indelible impression. You know, and the idea of how gravity and things that pull us towards us shift the shape of space, captures that, and turns it all into this delightful description of how two people are so tightly and incredibly drawn to each other. And then in the second one, he captures, as you so well put, that moment when, you know, you really, it's just like the world ceases to exist outside of the other person and you fall into each other. And become almost in one. But the part of me enjoyed, I enjoyed reading it the most, I think, because it spoke to time, the past, rebirth, having that singular one love that you meet again lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. I know several stories written with that theme. And I just love the way he spoke to it, you know. They had held before, felt hands and breath upon their skin. They had heard those words and laughed with others. Laughter, they had imprinted moments, hammered impressions into the fabric of time. I mean, that's just, it's both, oh, God, who is the guy who, he did the greatest story ever told, and Ben-Hur, those bigger than life movies.
Ben Kingsley?
This was the guy back in the early days of movies, right after Color had come out, and you'd have the big Ben-Hur letters across the screen carved out of rocks.
I can't think of it, but
it's not part of your childhood. I bet. This is where age covers a lot. If you ever want to see one of the greatest races filmed on screen, you should see his Ben-Hur and the chariot races. Oh, they're incredible. He really was the person who took CinemaScope in the wide screen and really played it for all it was worth. There are people who have tried to discover that some of the, because they didn't have CGI back then, he literally built things to equal to the, you know, the scenes he wanted to paint, you know, to shoot on screen. And there are people who want to save them because they are such a statement of that point of the art in cinema and stuff like that. But anyway, I mean, he, in that last verse, Time Teller really has that sense of grandeur and science and history and time and how love is forever, and we recognize all this right here, and he does such a beautiful job. I love it. And when their eyes meet, they feel the metal within, hemoglobin heat up. I mean, you know, he does everything, science, medicine, you name it. And yet at the same time, he's never long-winded or boring. And with a piece like that, that's a real sense of strength, your real grasp of your subject and your word. I find it fascinating that he chose the same quote, because you talk about two different views of the same idea. I mean, this is stupendous. There's a great comparison between the two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like that you, wonderful comment there, great observation. I like that you brought up the sense of grandeur within the poem. And I can totally see, like, as you're talking about the movie Ben-Hur, I can see the movies, like, and like see flashes of them, but I just can't pinpoint a name, you know. So, it'll come to one of the two of us at like about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So, and then by the time we see each other again, we'll both have forgotten it. So make sure to write it down.
Oh, Cecil B. DeMille, that's who it was.
There you go.
He both directed and produced some of these magnificent films back in the mid-50s, when you could go to see a movie for a quarter.
Oh, wow. Yep. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, even, you know, when I was a kid in the 80s, you could get a candy bar for 25 cents. And certainly can't do
that
nowadays.
Expensive.
Yep. Yeah, now they're like a $1.50 or something like that if you're lucky.
You're kidding me. Normally, these things, most of the time, they're like 3.25. And George
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, it all adds up. Times change, that's for sure.
Well, when I went to the ballpark, do you know how much a bag of Cracker Jacks is? $5.55.
Wow, I believe it, though, because, man, when you go places, like ball games and stuff, you know, that's where they, and even movie theaters, that's where they get you with how much they charge.
They make their money, too. I mean, the whole reason that they started selling popcorn was to get you to buy more drinks because
yes.
They only spent 2 cents on a drink at most.
Yep. Well, you know, and they actually have it nowadays where, like, Quick Trips or, like, you know, other convenience store places that have the fountain machine. You know how they actually will charge you a dollar extra if you take your soda without ice because of the fact that when they fill up your cup with so much ice, you don't really actually get that much soda. So.
Everything's about the profit margin anymore.
It really is. It really is.
Make them better able to compute it.
It is.
I mean, before
you had work,
there was the guy who, believe it or not, even though the company is no longer around and it was a family-run business, they revolutionized things because they figured out, it's called dark drug in the D.C. area, they figured out how much per square inch it costs for an item to sit, and within so many days, based upon how the cost of the item versus the cost of the space for it to sit there, they would start reducing the price to get it moved out because they didn't want to, because in their mind, if it sat there for too long, they were buying it.
Yep, exactly.
And that's big warehouse stores and things like Costco and BJ's and all those other places is, you know, it's all about movement. Get it off the shelf. If it's just too long, in fact, in some things, when there was a slight scandal, I think it was in New York, but they found that because they were buying it after X amount of time, they were just taking it out and throwing it into dumpsters if it didn't sell fast enough. Now they don't. Now they have changed laws so that the companies will now donate those things instead of throwing them in the dumpsters out back.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that does have a lot of, like, the local stores around here do the same thing because, you know, there's local food shelves and that they will donate to Yep, exactly. And I think that's a wonderful thing that businesses are doing. You know, food is too good.
The fact that the laws were changed so it pays them to give it away rather than throw it into the landfill. Don't you know, charity's only as good as the tax write-off. I hate to be cynical, but that's the truth.
Well, that is true. That is true. I can't disagree with you. However, I figure that as long as something's getting donated and people are getting their needs met, you know, and I know people who volunteer at food shelves, and most of them I believe to be very kind-hearted people. So you know what? If the donation happens because the person is getting a tax write-off, well, at least the donation happens. And
important. One of the things that was funny, part of my part of the reading of my background and my education is, as somebody once pointed out, laws don't change people's behavior, tax codes do. Because if it's like one of the first things I read to that made me really crack up is, you know what an amarre is and a clothes chest and all those things, you know, for keeping your clothes. You know why those were invented, don't you? To avoid paying taxes, because the British taxed every room in the house, including your closet. So if you go to some of the first houses built in America, you'll discover they don't have any closets. Instead, they had clothes presses and amarres, because those the tax man couldn't collect money on.
Oh, wow. Wow, well, that's interesting. Well, you know, that is. Well, I have to say, yeah, that is interesting. I don't know, though, Tom. I tell you, I don't know. I mean, I like this conversation. It's very interesting. That is for sure. But somehow I feel like me and you have gone off down some rabbit hole about taxes and the economy. And before you know it, we're going to be talking politics on a central show. And I'm not sure we should be doing that.
you should find a way to do a poetry reading on a seduction where the theme is about politics, turning politics into sex.
I think Gene would say, and I would agree, that is definitely an after midnight topic. It would be an interesting midnight topic, but.
Especially with the election coming up, you could have some really good sarcastic and satirically sexy pieces done that way.
That would be interesting. But I'm going to go ahead and...
For you, a little bit, a new way of looking at things, right?
Absolutely. Our eyes and our minds need to be open to new ways of looking at things. So, absolutely. So, but I'll go ahead and I'll bring us on to the next poem, which is Shooting Stars by Eric Svensson. Poem held moments dashed, incidental or accidental. Across a crowded room, our eyes met, instant fusion. Flutters of butterflies circumvented, dizzy Gillespie's saxophone serenaded, buckled breath blew, all din dash, conversation clash. Merry moonbeams meandered on teal waves, schools of emotions dolphin dived, rammed reality to loosen its hardened grip. Interstellar two hearts, faces tightly locked, hoot, shoot, scoot of shooting stars, heavenly pyrotechnics as you lay your hand in my palm, penthouse rooftop garden levitated even higher, ventriloquist vertical ferns blushed indigo, surreal smile on your face deconstructed, superfluous words, passion snug pendulum, swung between us. End poem. And Tom, your thoughts?
Gosh. Eric always leaves me just for a moment, just sort of standing there thinking. You think about, at least I do, his, shall we say, it must be research into the time, the space, the moment, because he's bringing in Dizzy Gillespie, who was master in the big band and the sax and the, you know, both saxophone, clarinet, it's all there, and his use of assonance and consonants in this is just, I mean, when you look at ventriloquist vertigo fern, blush indigo, I mean, it, you know, the the sounds that he's using and playing with, it just amazes me. It just amazes me. But this one, it's a really short, tight piece. I like that opening line, palm held moment, stash, incidental or accidental. You know, the idea of having a moment that you can just hold in your hand. And that across the crowded room, our eyes met, you know, some enchanted evening. The instant fusion, it just right there, bam. And those four lines, he captures it all so beautifully. And then the way we tried to come to terms with it and explain it in that second verse, you know, buckled breath blew, ice all din dash conversation clashed, merry moonbeams meandered on teal waves, schools of emotions dolphined up, rammed reality to loosen its hardened grip, two heart spaces tightly locked. Really, very strong statement about love finally finding everything it wants. And then the last is almost, it starts off with hoot, shoot, scoot of shooting stars. It just is like all of a sudden the fireworks are going off and the celebration has begun. He just did a beautiful job in what is truly brevity for Harry. Talking about that quote, their eyes met in an instant with an inexplicable, only half-conscious rush of emotion. They were in perfect communion, and he caught it. And definitely in his style and form, but he caught it quick, short, and sharp all the way down to the last line. Beautifully done.
You know what? I have to agree that definitely for Eric, this is a brevity. Short, concise lines, as you were saying. Wonderful imagery and metaphors, as always. Great use of alliteration and wordplay, you know, especially with merry moonbeams meandered on teal waves, schools of emotions, dolphin dived. I like how he has so many great references to that time period. You know, he's got Dizzy Gillespie. He's got the mention of where was that? Well, you know, it just, I swear he had a mention here of the Great Gatsby, but maybe I was wrong. Maybe it just kind of has that feel to it, especially with the mention of the penthouse rooftop garden levitated even higher. And the mention of where he says ventriloquist vertical ferns blushed indigo. The mention of the ferns kind of made me think of the Art Deco style that was popular in, I think it was the 20s and 30s. And oftentimes you'd see like women wearing elegant dresses or holding ferns or other objects. And, you know, it had that feel to it. I just really enjoy and appreciate the word choices in here. And he wrote to the prompt, their eyes met in an instant with an inexplicable, only half-conscious rush of emotion. They were in perfect communion. I like that he brings the music in here. He brings the whole idea of how, you know, everything around you just becomes more beautiful and brighter when you meet that right person. And the passion snug pendulum hung swung between us was such great wordplay and wonderful imagery of the whole idea of just time standing still between the two of you. So just an absolutely wonderful write and very well done. And before we continue on, I'd like to welcome area code 111 and welcome to the show. Who are we speaking to, please?
Hi, Pam. It's Naomi.
Hey, Naomi. How's it going?
Hello. Yeah, no, going pretty good. Yeah, my mom had a big operation today, and she's doing really good. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear she's doing good.
Yeah.
Did you have a good visit with your daughter?
Yeah, they just left, you know, a while ago. We were waiting for that operation and went well. So they've gone back home and yeah. So we had a great visit with my my daughters and my granddaughters and yeah.
Good.
So
I'm on adrenaline
right now, so I can't sleep. So phoned in.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're calling in. Very cool. So did you get a chance to read Eric's write, Shooting Stars?
Yeah, I read it earlier this week, sometime there. I think right after he posted it, and I just thought it was amazing. You know, the way he plays with words, the hoot shoot scoot of shooting stars, heavenly pyrotechnics as you lay your hand in my palm. You know, that's just amazing. You know, the penthouse rooftop garden levitated even higher. You know, just the way he takes us on this really, you know, passionate journey between two people is just, in his words, and Eric's way, you know, so uniquely amazing every time, and you know, such a wordsmith he is, indeed. Amazing right?
Absolutely. I do have to agree. A wonderful comment there. And let's see here. I'm looking to decide what I want to put up next. Ah, here we go. This will make a good combination, because I want to put something up for you to read, Naomi, so we can put you to work. and up next, I have Cruel Goodbyes by Betty Page. And go ahead, Naomi, and give that a read for us, please.
Okay, so Cruel Goodbyes by Betty Page. Cruel goodbyes, merging our two souls, broken and entwined, bleeding out, make love relentless, swiftly towards demise. Choke me out till I'm breathless. Kill me with your kiss. Taste blood on my lips. Annihilate me vividly. My fangs tear your flesh. Rip me apart, fierce, obliterate my mind's blown, dive deep in darkness. Crave me as your home, release within desire, set ablaze my heart, ignite true passion. We get tangled in power, fighting love be one. Stole my heart swiftly in my chaos and madness. You've twisted my mind, tempt me so wicked. Your every touch, I'm your slave. Chain me in your gaze. Never be the same, each both tainted now forever, stained with cruel goodbyes. We're stuck in limbo, both too stubborn to give in, yet never gives up. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. And what a wonderful write by Betty Page. It is sad and emotive, but at the same time, and dark, but at the same time, very erotic, as Betty does quite well. Wonderful 5-7-5 lines. A beautiful write that can be literally like a vampire story, or simply about, you know, two people who destroy each other with their physical desire, and but not their ability necessarily to commit to each other. And I could be reading that wrong, but I do appreciate the lines in this where says, swiftly towards demise, choke me out till I'm breathless, kill me with your kisses, taste blood on my lips, annihilate me vividly, my fangs tear your flesh, and crave me as your home, release within desires, set ablaze my heart. You know, it's interesting that there's so much darkness and a sense of erotic violence within this rite, but then we have these almost tender lines like crave me as your home, you know, to want somebody to feel like they're at home with you, I think is truly such a romantic thought. So wonderful rite and very well done. And Tom, your thoughts?
I was reading this over and over again and just noticing how much you're like the passion is almost envisioned as cruelty, but the cruelty is really about having to be separated, you know, rip me apart fierce, obliterate my mind, blown, die deep in darkness. And yet, when you get to the last three verses, tempt me so wicked, your touch, I'm your slave, chain me in your gaze, the sense of being deeply in love, never be the same, each both tainted now, forever stained with cruel goodbye. I mean, that sense of we'll never be the same because we have been parted, we're stuck in limbo, both too stubborn to give in, yet never gives up. This idea that there is a love so wonderful that separation is only a form of cruelty and it'll never stop the love from being. I said she does a great job with it. And to do it in her quick, sharp, three-line stanzas, it's quite impressive. Very, very good.
Well, you know what? You're right. She does do those three-line stanzas beautifully. So great comment there. And Naomi, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, me too. I was really drawn towards, you know, those lines that you already recited, Pam, there. Crave me as your home, release within desire, set ablaze my heart. Oh, that is a powerful line, crave me as your home. You know, I see this as a coming together of two, I see it as a vampire kind of, right? Because my fangs tear your flesh. So, you know, how powerful love must be when you're a vampire and you live for thousands and thousands of years, like the legend says. So, you know, that comes out in the last stanza there, we're stuck in limbo, both too stubborn to give in, yet never gives up. Yeah, you know, at your every touch, I'm your slave, chain me in your gaze. Very powerful, very, very powerful, right? And a very passionate one by Betty Page here, so very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. And I see Uncle Ernie hanging out on the board in Late Night Poets, so a shout out to him. Hello, Uncle Ernie. I don't know if he's listening, but, you know, in case he is, good to see him. All right. Let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have Little Did I Know by Bookworm Dave 227. Abigail fell into my life like a leaf on a cool autumn day. Read her so much, she became my ideal, a bright star in my universe. She was an ideal mate, always measuring others against her. Then she walked into my life, looking at her as she entered the library, cherry red hair and a giggle that made me drop my book, asking me with wry, are you that happy to see me? Stuttering a yes and a shy grin, smiling back, she said, are you going to dinner? Again, the yes seemed nervous. Would you like to join me, was her reply. walking to dinner and making small talk. Her life was an open book, but her chapters selected with care, not wishing all to know all. Dinner was slow and deliberate, playing a game of chess, knowing I wanted to be her king, knight, or even rook. Looking at her eyes, I saw a sparkle. Her interest was more than just a dinner friend, maybe a lover. We had an English class, discussing the readings, laughing at our play. Kissing came up, just a peck, I wish, as she drew me near. So much more, she said, more than just a peck, lovingly unbuttoning her blouse, letting me touch her. This never happened to me, nor her, she confessed, not prepared for the next steps, but love overtook the matter, and fondly I think of her, falling asleep, no longer classmates, but a love. So long ago, I think of her often, maybe due to the shortness, maybe it was just my first love, maybe it's just another verbal lash on my spirit, longing for the ideal, missing the real. End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts on Dave's poem?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of food for thought in those last lines, you know. Maybe is just another verbal lash on my spirit, longing for the ideal, missing the real. Yeah, you wonder, you know, of course this falls into the nostalgic a lot, but you know, how many times have you thought of, you know, like your ex-lovers or ex-girlfriends or ex-boyfriends, and you know, and everything seems to be ideal, but you know, was it really real? You know, those first loves, you know, was it really the best thing for you? You know, you have to ask yourself. So I find, you know, I think a lot about that, those lines, longing the ideal, missing the real there. But, you know, I thought this was an amazing story, right? And, you know, very well done. And bravo, Bookworm Dave.
Absolutely. And I do agree. You know, Dave definitely has a talent for telling story right. So great comment there. And Tom, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Tom?
Sorry, I was coughing, and I put myself on mute.
Oh, okay.
I like how he opens this. And the Abigail fell into my life like a leaf on a cool autumn day. The sense of it was bound to happen, but I was surprised it happened, as if he had viewed her as an unrequited love, that sense of romantic love, where you dream of someone who's far beyond your reach, and always measuring others against her, like I had idealized her. And then she comes in and she takes control as if she had recognized. I've often said that men don't seduce women. Women just allow men to take part in their lives. He does a beautiful job of telling his seduction and how she took over his life. It's that that when you get to these last lines, these last four verses, these last three verses where he speaks, so he goes from the moment of seduction to the moment when it's all past and we're back in the present. And he remembers it as if it was something that he didn't love her enough, or he didn't let himself become enough involved in the situation, so that he finds himself looking back at it with a certain level of regret and maybe a sense that there was something there that he shouldn't have left. I really nicely done. I mean, the little sense of questioning both of himself and questions that he leaves for you to think of the answers of. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I have to agree. It does leave you thinking at the end, and you can kind of feel that you feel that sense of regret. Even when he has the line where it says, kissing came up, just a peck, I wish, as she drew me near. So much more, she said, more than just a peck. And you can imagine the unexpected surprise of that, but within that moment when the kiss becomes more than a peck and it leads on to what comes next, you see that where it goes from transition to being just friends to being lovers. And, you know, sometimes when that happens, it can either be one of two things. It can be the best thing that ever happened to you, or it can be the biggest regret, because it's really difficult to get that friendship back once you've crossed that line. And I do like that he's the questioning. I also like the comparison to the game of chess, and knowing I wanted to be her king, knight, or even rook. Looking at her eyes, I saw a sparkle. Her interest was more than just a dinner friend. Great sensuality play within there. Wonderful word choices, an emotive write that takes us back in time to a look at someone's first love. So wonderful write and very well done. All right. Let's see here. Up next, Tom, I'm going to put your write. And
okay.
As soon as you see it, go ahead and give it a read.
The next chapter in life's longest tale, a poem by Tom Speed. And we open with a, I can't get a term now, but a quick quote from Scott Fitzgerald. I love her, and that's the beginning and end of everything. It was lunch at the cafeteria, the line out the door, mindless as the next, letting time and patience manage movement, staring at nothing without hope of something to ease mind or time. This long-haired blonde creature with this black, flat-topped, broad-brimmed hat gives me a three-quarter stare, takes her hand and moves it like a sword dividing her face, as if to offer up her eyes for my senses to taste. Transfixed, she had pinned at me. She smiled. She knows. Old soul, how foolish could I be? There is nobody else. Crooked her pinky. I believed. It was lunch, then dinner, then home for the night. Everything has a beginning. But this felt like I had been waiting for her my entire life. Worlds may collide. Those who seek revenge abide. We were two lovers whose train arrived. Life is for living, love for giving, romance and chance and poems have beginnings and endings. We picked up in this life, now we were found. Where we had left off so many lives before, so people wait forever. I couldn't ask for more. She was the cat on my lap, the tiger at the door. Love whispers, give thanks for riches, celebrate birthdays, and love your parents for how you were raised. And the person you love opens the door to your heart. Welcome their entrance, and give the good Lord praise. She is my beginning, and endings will just have to wait.
Great read and write there, Tom. I'm very glad you were inspired. And before we comment, I'd like to welcome Gray to the show. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, Pam. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you doing?
Be better if I was there at the start of the show, eh? Kind of close,
right.
Close to mine.
You know, I guess better late than never. And thank goodness for Tom and Naomi. But good to hear from you now. So that's all that matters. So
yeah.
Hi, Greg.
Bye, Naomi.
And Naomi, what did you think of Tom's poem?
Well, yeah, I really like this. You know, you really feel, that the words old soul, some people, they just have this feeling, the old soul, I think it sums it up. You know, you're what meant for each other. You knew it from the first glance there. And I really liked "She was the cat in my lap, the tiger at the door." I love that line. And then the way you sum up the poem, which "she is my beginning and endings will just have to wait." What a way to finish off this great, great write. But, such a beautiful testament to your loved one here. And very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Great comment. And Gray, did you get a chance to hear or to read Tom's poem?
Yes, I did. I thought it was wonderful. You know, he has a lot of lot to say in his write, and I thought it was just beautifully read as well. But my favorite part is I think the title, the next chapter in life's longest tale is a fantastic title. "I Love Her, and That's the Beginning and the End of Everything" by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And then you really capture the essence of that quote quite beautifully. "She knows, she smiles, old soul, how foolish could I be? There is nobody else. Crooked, her pinky, I believed it was lunch, then dinner, then home for the night. Everything has a beginning, but this felt like I had been waiting for my entire life." You know, some people just come into your life and they change it. You know, they make it so much more than it was. And it's a beautiful thing to share that. So well done. Thank you for sharing, Thomas.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was just stunning and a wonderful take on the chosen prompt. And I like that the description of this long-haired blonde creature with this black flat top, broad-brimmed hat gives me a three-quarter stare. Like, you can just imagine, you can see that three-quarter stare and all that it communicates. And, of course, the crooked pinky. "How foolish could I be? There is nobody else. Crooked her pinky, I believe. It was lunch, then dinner, then home for the night. Everything has a beginning. But this felt like I had been waiting for her my entire life." Such a sense of romanticism, and that idea of meeting somebody that you're not only physically attracted to, but that your spirit connects with. I really enjoy and appreciate the sensuality, and "she was the cat in my lap, the tiger at the door. Love whispers, give thanks for riches." You know, and the time spent together, the beginnings and the ends, really appreciate the spirituality brought into this love story. It's wonderfully written and very well done. And Tom, did you want to say anything about your poem?
Oh no, there's a touch of autobiography in this, but it's only because of the fact that I really did meet a young lady once when I was in college this way. And sadly it left. But the whole idea of how somehow there are people we're meant to meet, there are people we are meant to be with that are factors in our life no matter what. It's something I've always felt is very true. I just sort of wanted to capture that from the way you guys spoke of it, I managed to pull that off, which is nice to hear. So thank you all.
I like that. Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you for writing, and thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. Let's see what we have next. All right, Naomi, I'm going to put up your poem, Falling Into Him, and you were nice enough to supply us with a recording. So let me go ahead and push play.
Falling into him. He whispers my name so softly. I'm not even sure his mouth moved. A wicked smile hovering over his lips. His thumb drawing slow circles on my hip. Moving up my side to my ribs. His other hand moving to my face, tracing the outline of my lips with his fingertip. Pulling me against him, our lips clinging together, softly at first. Then, with more urgency, he tastes like bourbon, chocolate cake, and everything I've ever craved. I sigh against his lips, murmuring his name, feeling his smile. My hands moving into his hair, that hair that I've been waiting to touch all night. He kisses me harder, his hand cupping my cheek, a gentle touch on my skin. I shiver, drowning in the heat of his mouth, my nerve endings on fire. The taste of him, the smell of him, the feel of him, so close against me, skin to skin. Time and space have no meaning anymore. There is only him.
Wonderful read and write there, Naomi. I'm very glad you were inspired. And Tom, your thoughts on Naomi's poem.
This is definitely essential. It would be scandalous in the Scott Fitzgerald time because you so gently and, I want to say this, deliciously describe his, I mean, right from the wicked smile hovering over his lips, that was probably the least sexy thing on here. And you very carefully bring us in with these really gentle, delicious and sensual descriptions of how he is seducing you, our lips clinging together softly at first, and then with more urgency. He tastes like bourbon, chocolate cake, and everything I've ever craved. That's a great line. It's just a great line because then the rest of it is just a cascade, almost like icing. The taste of him, the smell of him, the feel of him, so close against me, skin to skin. Very, very a wonderful seduction. That's the best way to sum it. And you do a wonderful job of it. Tenderly, gently, deliciously, and so intimately. Beautiful.
Thank you, Tom. I have to agree. Wonderful comment there, Tom. And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, it was a beautiful read and a fabulous write. You know, you really bring the heat and the passion of the connection that you have with this person. And, you know, it makes people envious, I think, that don't have this going on in their life. So a brilliant write and well read. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. It was a beautiful, beautiful read and write. And I love the sensuality of this. What a great title, Falling Into Him. You know, not only the idea of falling in love, but the idea of leaning into somebody, you know, as your strength, your support. I do really like, he tastes like bourbon, chocolate cake, and everything I've ever craved. Those are wonderful lines. I really like the way you form the poem to give a sense of movement to the lines, which adds, I think, to the seduction. Wonderful lines all the way through. Another part I really like is my hand moving into his hair, that hair that I've been waiting to touch all night. He kisses me harder, his hand cupping my cheek, the gentle touch on my skin. I shiver, drowning in the heat of his mouth. I mean, just stunning lines all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Absolutely, and thank you for writing. So, all right, and up next we have another SoundCloud, and this poem is Cada Respirmi. Better yet, I know Lou's probably said the title on her poem. So this is a poem by Luyu Wildove, Cada Respiro Mi Mundo Te Espira. And she provided us with a recording. So let me go ahead and push play.
Cada Respiro Mi Mundo Te Espera by Luyu Wildove. Breath, exhale, passionate delights. Deep onyx pupils, portal swell. Internal swirling, mortal flames. Waking thoughts, awakening dreams. Liquored moonshine spills over divided continents. Shadowed linens, dusk sings a feather wild cries beneath night stars. A whippoorwill, calloused fingers, wolfish hands rest, lie on full, soft, rhythmical, stimulated hips. Firestorms exhales, lingering in sunbeams, undressing Latina's coppery physique. Earth and blushing, spears flushing, dove joyous moans. Sing as my heart pounds, our breastbones vibrate, a light and smoking breath. Wild, flitting, pressed fruity, garnet, full-bodied ruby wine kisses, gazing at muscular thighs with unpretending, craving, yearning eyes, drawing in wooed gas, pen sooty ink scribes poetry on every coffee napkin, notebooks, pencil lines, shades, plead for the taste of your sweet mouth. Your evergreen scent winds hang, scenting desert mesquite mountains, lonely gray clouds sauntering above desert lilies, golden poppies, red bird of paradise swaying blooms. This typical topsy-turvy square wall-to-wall life, deep breath mingling, closed dreamy lashed lids. Mi amor, cada respiro mi mundo te espera. Yo respiro, yo respiro.
Great read and write there, Lou. Muy caliente. And thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear poetry in your voice. Anne Gray, what did you think of Lou's poem?
Well, her reading takes my breath away. You know, she has such a fantastic Spanish accent to her, and it was just beautiful to hear. You know, it just lulled me into a pacified state, which is not easy to do. But silhouetted, her calloused fingers, wolfish hands rest, lie on full, soft, rhythmical, stimulated hips. Firestorms, exhales, lingering in sunbeams, undressing Latina's coppery physique. Wow, just an amazing poem. Well done. Thank you so much for sharing with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to say, I definitely agree. And the way she rolls her R's is just absolutely stunning. So great comment. And Tom, your thoughts?
This is sexy with a capital S. I mean, the metaphors of internal swirling mortal flames waking caught, awakening green, liquored moonshine spilled over divided continent, shadowed linen. That opening is just sublime with promise, but standing on his hind legs at the same time and shouting out its passion with every word. And then she doesn't calm down, but at the same time doesn't, how should we say, gild the lily in any way. Instead, she teases us and takes us from one little moment to the next until finally, you know, we are thoroughly caught up in this. As she goes, my heart pounds, our breastbones vibrate, alighting in smoking breath. Wild, flitting, pressed fruity garnet, full-bodied ruby wine kisses. And you can see it. It becomes a well-scripted movie. I like how she, that quick aside, notebook, pencil line, shades, please, for the taste of your sweet mouth. As if there's a poetry here that I'll speak of, but only briefly because the moment is too intense to waste on these thoughts. I mean, and then to end it with that Spanish phrase, you know, just striking. She both captures us with romance, fills us with passion, and leaves us slightly close to ashes from the fire and flames that she has created. Beautifully done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, wow. You know, she's the queen of sensuality, Lu Yu is, my gracious, you know, from the way she reads to just to the way she can write. You know, it just drips, you know, wow. I'm kind of out of words, but I love the way she always manages to bring in, you know, such wonderful details of nature into her poem, like your evergreen scent, winds hang, scenting desert mesquite mountains. And then the lonely gray clouds sauntering above, desert lilies, golden poppies, red bird, a paradise swaying blooms, the solitary, typical topsy-turvy square wall to wall. You know, it's such a beautiful way. It's a gift for all our senses here, you know, from all the five senses are awakened here in this rite, and she does it so beautifully. like only Lou can. This is amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Stunning lines all the way through, wonderful imagery and metaphors, deep sensuality. I really like liquored moonshine spills over divided continents, shadowed linens, dusk sings the feathered wild cries beneath night stars, a whippoorwill, calloused fingers, wolfish hands rest, lie on full soft rhythmical stimulated hips. And, you know, wonderful lines throughout. There's a wonderful sense of, you know, love and seduction. I really like also your evergreen scent, winds hang, scenting desert mesquite mountains. You know, just as you said, Naomi, it's a treat for all the senses. Beautifully written and read and very well done. All right, let's see what we have next. Gray, you are funny. Do you, if I was bread, you'd be the butter layering me in you. Aw, I like that. Now Gray's probably blushing. Speaking of Gray, I have up our next poem, which is A Wonder in the World by Jody Melton. And Gray, would you give that a read for us, please?
You betcha. A Wonder in the World by Jody Melton. In a world adorned with wonder and grace, there dwells a soul, a radiant embrace. She's a beacon of beauty, a celestial sight illuminating the darkest of nights. Her smile, a sunbeam that dances and gleams, melting hearts like honey, newest of dreams. Her eyes, twin galaxies, sparkling with glee, unveiling a universe enchanting to see. With every step she takes, flowers bloom and her presence a symphony, dispelling gloom, her laughter like music, a melody so pure, filling the air, a potion to cure. She paints the canvas of life with vibrant hues, gently scattering love, refusing to lose. Her touch, a gentle breeze upon the skin, whispering tales of joy where dreams begin. In her embrace, shadows find solace and rest. With her by my side, life feels truly blessed. For she is the essence of love's purest art, the beating rhythm of my grateful heart. In her existence, a kaleidoscope of delight, where possibilities flourish in endless flights. For in all the beauty of life radiates through this girl, a gift to cherish, the most precious of the pearls. So let us celebrate this wonderful being with reverence and gratitude, forever agreeing that her presence, life's tapestry will unfurl, a symphony of love where the heart finds its pearl. End poem.
Great read there, Gray, and a wonderful write by Jody Melton. And Naomi, your thoughts on this poem?
Oh, this is just, you know, what an homage this is, you know, to a loved one here. You know, and it fits so well, the quote. He really, really, you know, encompasses everything, that every way that this person is the loveliest, the tenderest, the most beautiful person that he ever knew. You know, his lines are smile, a sunbeam that dances and gleams, melting hearts like honey, sweetest of dreams. Then he goes to her eyes. And then even I just love with every step she takes, flowers bloom and her presence a symphony, dispelling gloom, and her laughter like music, melody so pure, filling the air, a potion to cure. She paints the canvas of life with vibrant hues. This is just beautifully written. Bravo, bravo. I don't know this. This must be a new poet. But, wow, looking forward to much more reading of his writing for sure. Bravo.
Yeah, he is fairly new. He has been offering a lot of support up for late night poets contests and shows. Recently, in the last, I think, couple of months. And, you know, it's been really great to get to know him and his poetry. And, yes, I highly recommend checking his poetry out when you get a chance, Naomi. So, great comment. And, Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, it's... It's a wonderful poem, you know, a wonder in this world. Her smile, a sunbeam that dances and gleams, melting hearts like honey, sweetest of dreams. Her eyes, twin galaxies, sparkling with glee, unveiling a universe, enchanting to see. You know, there's such romance in this, and you can feel the devotion and the love that he has for this person. And I really enjoyed the last stanza. So let us celebrate her, this wonderful being, with reverence and gratitude, forever agreeing that with her presence, life's tapestry will unfurl a symphony of love where the heart finds its pearl. Just a magical rite, beautifully done.
It really is, absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I'm glad you brought up that last stanza because, you know, all the other stanzas speak on the idea of this kind of this adoration that and love and respect that he has for this woman. But the end stanza wraps up nicely because with saying, so let us celebrate her, it feels like the whole idea that he realizes the importance of this woman in his life and wants everyone to celebrate her. You know, and it really is a romantic rite, wonderful imagery, great rhyme and flow. You know, and I like that this is about somebody who's not just physically beautiful, but also emotionally and spiritually beautiful. I particularly like she paints the canvas of life with vibrant hues, gently scattering love, refusing to lose. Her touch, a gentle breeze upon the skin, whispering tales of joy where dreams began. Wonderful lines and very well done. All right, and see what we have next. All right. Here we go. Up next, we have Delicious Bodies by Ed Hunter. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay, Delicious Bodies. In thought and deed, truly together. Oceans pummeling the reef, ruby gloss from a tantalizing kiss. It wasn't a flame. It wasn't the wild behavior like the lions of Persia. We were delicious bodies craving for togetherness. Her eyes are a turquoise blue. Her face is peaceful and soft. Hot cascading flat waters follows the contours of our chin. Creamy soap is slippery with rich, irresistible jasmine and lavender spices. It's a power you breathe that makes you, your instincts become enchanted. Swirling suds shade our bodies with a gorgeous blend. Our legs quiver with desire. Dying off is delicate. Drying off is delicate. Delicious and romantically soft. We captured our reflection from the mirror. Our bodies blended into the night. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a wonderful write by Ed Hunter. Amazing imagery and metaphors. This is another one that's a treat for all the senses. I really like it wasn't a fleeing, it wasn't the wild behavior like the lions of Persia. We were delicious bodies craving for togetherness. And then the other senses brought in with creamy soap is slippery with rich irresistible jasmine and lavender spices. It's a power you breathe that makes your instincts become enchanted. Just a stunning sensual lines and very well done. And Gray, your thoughts?
Yeah, Ed Hunter's an old romantic at heart, you can tell. Through this write, you know, you can feel the connection that he has with the person that he's writing about. The eyes are a turquoise blue. Her face is peaceful and soft. Hot cascading water follows the contours of her skin. Creamy soap is slippery with rich irresistible jasmine and lavender spices. It's a power you breathe that makes your instincts become enchanted. Yeah, I could see that for sure. Just a beautiful write and a touching poem.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Naomi, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, sorry, I messed it up in a few places there. I'm so sorry, Ed Hunter. But yeah, this is just amazing, you know, the way his descriptions, you know, her eyes are a turquoise blue, her face is peaceful and soft. Hot cascading water follows the contours of our skin. You know, this is just amazing. He really drips with sensuality, this poem, and you can feel the romantic part of it also, as well as the sensual. Everything is brought out here, the intimacy that is in the quote, you see it in the poem, that intimacy. You know, there's nothing more intimate than, you know, bathing with somebody or, you know, taking a shower with somebody. I think that's one of the most intimate things that you can do. And she really, really captured it well in this poem. So bravo.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. All right. And up next we have Got What It Takes by Poeta de Cabra. And Gray, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Got What It Takes by Poeta de Cabra. Darling, you know I love you, but you have no idea how much. Remember me stealing that kiss and the very first intimate touch? We explored each other's bodies, every erogenous zone discovered, such tastes of ecstasy and intimacy from which we still haven't recovered. That very first night of lovemaking, something, darling, I'll always treasure. Promise you, though, it wasn't a one-off. Every night with you, filled with pleasure. Not only good at your sexual prowess, also intelligent, witty, and oh so smart. How could I not fall in love with someone like you, the woman who stole my heart? Darling, since the day we first got together, I've been unable to stop grinning. Our love's been wondrous for so long, that every day it feels like the beginning. Our love is not just physical, sweetheart, full of honesty, infatuation, and trust. Treasure every movement during the day, but after dark, our desires turn to lust. Know how to ease pressures of everyday life, rub each other's muscles and weary bones, kiss, cuddle, and whisper sweet nothings in your ear, turn groans, once again, to pleasurable moans. Hearts are entwined as our love forever true, the kind of love that anyone would treasure, But on top of that, we still have what it takes. Make love, give each other the ultimate end poem.
Great read, Gray, and wonderful write by Poeta. And it looks like Naomi's had a long, busy day, so she's getting tired. So, you know, she has to go. So good night, Naomi. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, I just thought this was, as always, you know, great rhyme and flow by Poeta. I like how this poem speaks to a special someone. I like that there's both romance and sensuality. I really enjoy and appreciate the use of the phrase sexual prowess. Not only good at your sexual prowess, also intelligent, witty, and oh so smart. How could I not fall in love with someone like you, the woman who stole my heart? So, you know, here's a woman who's just not, who isn't, it's just not about just the physical, but also the emotional, about seeing the beauty in her intelligence. And I also like the lines, hearts are entwined and our love forever true, the kind of love that anyone would treasure. You know, beautiful, heartfelt lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Gray?
You know, I thought it was a beautiful poem. It's definitely one of his most romantic writes, I think. Sorry, I gotta get back to it here. Got what it takes. We explored each other's body, every erogenous zone discovered. Such tastes of ecstasy and intimacy from which we still haven't recovered. You know, when it's that passionate and that desirous, it really is hypnotic, and it takes you away to another place that you have to, you know, come back from, and that's not always an easy thing to do. So I thought he did a beautiful write, and it was a pleasure to read his poem.
Absolutely, and great comment there. All right, and let's see what we have next. We have Falling Deeper in Love by Jenny the Deep, and it goes like this. Deeper in love with you each new day, I fall more into your shadows of romance, unescapable arms caressing me, intoxicated from your breath, breathing down my neck and spine. I'm falling deeper. Tickling tongues briskly skip, quivering hips never to recover as you smoothly enter my mouth, kissing me cheek to cheek. My bent knees never felt so weak, giggling and wiggling as you capture me tickling. True love feels new and strange. Would lose my ambitions to spend all day and night with you under the stars in the midnight skies, or on the beach lost in your blue eyes. Nowhere I'd rather be than with you, my true love. End poem. What a beautiful romantic write. And your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on that, Pam. But, you know, the poem is great. It really harkens to, you know, falling in love and unescapable arms caressing me. Intoxicated from your breath, he breathing down my neck and spine, I'm falling in deeper. You know, when somebody's breath takes you away, that's a powerful thing. So just a wonderful, wonderful write. You did a great read on it too, Pam.
Well, thank you. And I do have to agree that it is a powerful thing when somebody takes your breath away. It's a beautifully written rictometer poem, great imagery and metaphors. sorry, and I really like it all the way through, but especially that second stanza with the lines, tickling tongues briskly skip, quivering hips never to recover. You know, great lines and very well done. Oh man, I'm sorry, I think my allergies are getting to me. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right. And up next, we have Everything in Between by Unexpected Bill. And go ahead, please, Gray, and give that a read.
Everything in Between by Unexpected Bill. And it has a picture with a quote in it. I love her, and that's the beginning and end of everything. By A. Scott Fitzgerald. I love her. Brown eyes greeting the mornings. Her smile, unforced and warming. On the island, we drink coffee together. Starting out our days could never be better. As I drive to work, half an hour all alone, shuffling music I've saved on my phone. Songs that are ours, reminding me of her. Separate, together, my commute is a blur. A text message alert. She's thinking of me, the woman in my life I'm longing to see. Through the toil of work, she is there too. My body is theirs, but my soul belongs to you. Work concludes the game. It's time to go home to the one I love most, my wife, my shalom. Past, passions, progamy, son and daughter, one for each of us, like mother and father. Dinner cooked with loving hands yesterday, leftovers are served. Desire may be in play. She breezes on by flirting, sensual, alluring, daydream believer. That time is approaching. To bed, but not for sleep. We've sown, now we reap. She is where it begins. She is where it ends. Everything in between, I love her. End poem.
Great read, Gray, and oh my goodness, this one really touches my heart. What a wonderful poem to his wife. At least I assume it's based on true life because of the fact that it's romantic, and yet there is that strong sense of realism, you know, the having to get up and go to work and spending that time apart and then coming back together and knowing there's still dinner and the kids to be taken care of. But the flirtations that are fitted in there and the sense of longing to be together and really just brings romance into everyday life. I really like Work Concludes Again, It's Time to Go Home, to the one I love most, my wife, my shalom, past passions, progeny, son and daughter, one for each of us, like mother and father. You know, you got to keep those odds pretty even when it comes to you against the children. And I did like the use of the word shalom, meaning peace, you know, having somebody who brings you a sense of peace. And then the clever, playful sensuality into bed, not for sleep. You know, wonderful rites and very well done. Wonderful rite and very well done. And Gray, your thoughts?
You know, I thought it was fantastic, right? You know, he really captures the beauty of being with somebody, you know. Separate together, my commute is a blur. A text message alert, she's thinking of me. The woman in my life, I'm longing to see. Through the toil of work, she's there too. My body's theirs, but my soul belongs to you. I mean, that kind of says everything right there. Just to me, it's quite romantic and beautiful. So great job. Thank you for sharing.
It is absolutely great comment. All right. Well, our last poem for the night will be One With You by Amanda Liu. The tide hangs in the wind. The moon breeds night as a mountain lioness howls for her mate. And I ache for the touch of your body like the bread bellies of lizards and snakes slithering and crawling on my skin. It is you I will never forget, how we once lay side by side, touching yet the same person. The goddess of the sun bowed down at the intimacy our breathing, the deity's faint and righteous hymns at the connection of our tongues. Your fingers traced every inch of my thighs, your tongue wept at the taste of my wrist, and I lie here with him, my legs entwined around his, my arms wrapped around his neck, his breath on my cheek, still one with you. End poem. And your thoughts, Gray?
I thought it was wonderfully read. You did a beautiful job of reading it, but I'm having trouble getting to the poem. Okay, here we go. The tide hangs in the wind. Moon breathes night as mountain lioness howls for her mate, and I ache for the touch of your body like the bread bellies of lizards and snakes shivering and crawling on my skin. You know, that's powerful imagery right there. And I really liked, and I lie here with him, my legs entwined around his, my arms wrapped around his neck, his breath on my cheek, still one with you. Such a very touching rite. Well done.
It is a touching rite. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, I really love the imagery and metaphors in this, especially when she brings in the desert-like imagery of, you know, and I ache for the touch of your body like the bread bellies of lizards and snakes slithering and crawling on my skin. There was to me a sense of sadness at the end, like that she's physically with somebody else, but she's thinking of this person. I really also liked the line, the goddess of the sun bowed down at the intimacy, our breathing, the deity sang righteous hymns, or a riotous, I'm sorry, my apologies, riotous hymns at the connection of our tongues. You can just feel the sense of how they were both physically moved within that moment, and it all felt so good and pure and beautiful to be physically with each other. So just amazing, amazing right and very well done. And great show tonight. Thank you to you, Gray, and Naomi and Thomas B. for all calling in. Thank you to Fill My Eyes for everything she does in the background. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Make sure to keep an eye out on the contest and sponsored board put up by our late night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And you can join us 30 minutes from now for Part Sinner, Part Saint with Afasiana. And have a good night, everyone. Have a good night, Gray.
Good night, Pam. Sorry I was late. I apologize.